from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Texas, that's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Terrific to have you along for the ride today and the conversation. Man, they're going to try it again. They're going to try another vote later on this afternoon, 5:30 Eastern. It'll be right smack in the middle of our Newsmax show. So we'll be bringing that to you live later on this evening on TV. In the meantime, it is a mess right now. The Democrats are in a complete tailspin. They don't know what to do. They don't know who is in charge. And it very well may be that enough Democrats will side with the Republicans. They will join the Republicans in the effort to actually get this continuing resolution passed. That's really where all of this is going. Otherwise, Republicans are holding their ground. They are standing firm, and my hat is off to Speaker Mike Johnson and Majority Leader John Thune. They are doing a terrific job right now. So well done. So last night, and we're gonna play the entire conversation a little bit later on in the show. Last night, I was talking to Congressman Tim Burchett, our good buddy out of Eastern Tennessee, and he represents that area around Knoxville, Knox County, Knox Vegas, as they call it. And he was telling me that the more deep diving they do into what the Democrats were wanting, because the Democrats were piling on, they did not want a clean resolution. They were wanting to fund NPR and PBS, $500 million. They were wanting to fund all these subsidies for health care for illegal aliens. And the list goes on and on and on. But they're still doing a deep dive into all of this. And they discovered that one of the things the Democrats wanted to do was to provide funding for pastry classes for male prostitutes in Haiti. Now, I have no idea what that's about, neither did the congressman, but it certainly sounds very troubling. And the congressman said there's really no reason why American taxpayers should be footing the bill for sidewalk Sallys. Well, they're really not sidewalk Sallys, they're sidewalk Larrys. But I'm just telling you, this is insane. By the way, if you're in Haiti and you end up at one of these bakeries owned by the male prostitutes, I would not order the honey buns. I'm just saying, not a good thing. So we'll get into that conversation, but it's, again, goes back to this very single issue, is that the American taxpayers are done, fed up, had it, and we're tired of our money being squandered, and we're tired of taxes. We're tired of taxation without representation, and it comes to a stop. A reminder, by the way, that we are still, this continuing resolution, all it does, it continues to fund the government at Biden-era spending levels. And unfortunately, I have zero confidence, and I will say this about the Republicans, I have zero confidence that the Republicans are going to be able to do anything about ultimately cutting spending. I hate to say that, but that's the reality. And you guys deserve to hear that from me, because I'm just not convinced that the Republicans are really that serious about cutting spending, period. 901-260-5926, by the way, that is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We are on day 21 of the shutdown, and later this afternoon, we will be going through the 12th Senate shutdown vote. So you can't say the Republicans are not trying here, folks, but that's where we are right now. And it's not a good place to be as a country. But the Democrats are simply imploding, and I love this. And it's happening all over the country. And the one challenge, though, is that these Democrats are getting very, very nasty. And a lot of them are spewing dangerous rhetoric. There have been, I mean, the amount of threats coming out of the Democrat Party these days is just insane. And the fact is that they're putting lives in danger. many lives in danger. They're literally calling for Republicans and conservatives to be killed, to be murdered, to be shot. People are walking around. As a matter of fact, one guy was dressed up like Charlie Kirk after he had been assassinated. I mean, these are some very, very evil people here. And that is something that we're all going to have to contend with. We're working on getting our good buddy Tom Gresham on the show to talk about gun safety and what you need to be doing to protect yourself and your family. Let me say this, and I just deeply, seriously mean this. You need to be doing whatever is necessary to protect your home, your business, and your family. Not necessarily in that order, but you need to be taking steps. If you have a wife, guys, you need to make sure that your wife is either armed with a weapon that she knows how to use, or she has bear spray or whatever she needs. Because if you are a conservative, there's a target on your back. And I think it's very important for all of us to understand that. You know, that doesn't mean you should live in fear. I'm just saying it means that you should be aware, that you should be aware at all times. I know when I go into a restaurant, my back is never to the door. Whenever we're out, I always make sure that I've got a line of sight towards that front door, because you want to be prepared at all times to take action to protect yourself. And you just simply have to do that, especially in this day and age. I mean, again, these threats, and by the way, it's not the radical leftist I'm talking about, but the kinds of people that the National Guard are arresting in places like Chicago and Portland and Seattle, New York City, in Memphis. Man, these are some dangerous cats here we're talking about. By the way, in Memphis alone, 65 children missing, now found, thanks to the efforts of the National Guard and President Donald J. Trump. God bless you for that, Mr. President. God bless you. In the meantime, you've got D.C. residents, and President Trump's efforts there are actually changing the minds of voters in that Democrat community. I want you to listen to cut number 9, please.
Just listen to what she says. It's really, to your point, Sox, it's like, it's just such a no-brainer thing to do. The question now is, I think, is a political calculation. Who wants to take credit for it? Because everybody should be doing this.
Oh, yes, listen to this.
I'm always got to be the person to say it, and I don't want to be the person to say it. But Donald Trump has been president for 9 months. 9 months! And I'm seeing videos from Chicago, D.C., where people are like, yo, I feel safe. My kids feel safe. This is the best thing he ever did for us. So what was happening all these years that this like, literally, I've known D.C. and Virginia to have this type of shit going my whole life, and I'm in my 40s, okay? Almost touching it. So what was really truly going on if a became president 9 months ago and cleared that out with just a flick of the pen? I'm just thinking, like, did y'all really ever care?
Exactly. So I think that the point she's making there is we don't have to live this way. This is a choice, okay?
Yeah.
And we don't have to live in San Francisco with our main drag, our main street, Market Street, basically being an open-air drug market where you've got hundreds of people who are addicted, doing drugs in the street, you know, doing other things in the street. And again, Gavin Newsom proved that it could all be cleaned up very, very quickly. So look, I think it's great that Daniel Lurie and Brooke Jenkins and the new administration are doing a better job, but they're still constrained and hamstrung by their own.
Well, let them say that.
By the city's, hold on, by the city's liberal mindset, extreme liberal mindset towards what's possible. And I think, like that person just said in the video, Trump just did it with a stroke of a pen. This is a choice. We don't have to live this way.
And it's true. You don't have to live this way. And President Trump, talking about San Francisco, by the way, pointing out that maybe that's one of the next steps. The problem here is you've got, you know, people in these cities are seeing what's happening in Washington, what's happening right now in Memphis, and they're saying, holy cow, Trump is going in and he's literally changing the vibe. He's changing the mood. He's making these cities safe in just a couple of weeks. Mr. President, can you send the National Guard to our town? I mean, poor San Francisco. And I know the jokes about the fruits and the nuts and the granola. I get all of that. But it's still a beautiful town, beautiful people, just a wonderful place. And yet the Democrat policies over the past 10 years have literally turned that city into a war zone and a hellhole. It is like a great big litter box. People, here's how bad it is. People are pooping on the streets at such, and I don't know what they're eating, but whatever it is, it's so bad that San Francisco hired to create a poop patrol. $184,000 a year. That's how much they're paying for people to be a part of the poop patrol. And they're going out there and they're literally scooping up people's droppings. So far, this is so far, 50,000. 50,000 flushes is what they're called. They keep track of it. That's a lot of poop, everybody. And Trump is coming in and saying, and by the way, not to mention the dirty needles in the kiddie parks and all of that stuff. And Trump is saying, you know what, maybe we need to go into San Francisco next. And people are saying, God bless you, Mr. President. Here's the thing. Are you seeing Democrats waking up now and realizing their party is done? And the biggest problem with the Democrat Party is they're so afraid of the progressives. Because I know there are Democrats who are not buying into all this DEI stuff. They're not buying into the whole transgender thing, but they're too scared of their own party to say anything. You know, a lot of these lawmakers up on Capitol Hill who are Democrats would be considered either moderate or liberal. They're not far left, but they're terrified and they've been silenced because they're cowards. They've been silenced by these radical progressives. Because they don't want people like Rashida Tlaib and Jasmine Crockett, Crockett, they don't want people like that up in their grill. And those numbers, by the way, when you look at the Jasmine Crocketts and the Ilhan Omars and the Rashida Tlaibs, the Ayanna Presleys, those are going to quickly become the majority of the party. We're about to send one from Tennessee, a guy by the name of Justin Pearson. He's basically Jasmine Crockett with an afro, a power afro. This guy thinks he's like Malcolm X meets, I don't know, MLK. We call him Lil X here in Memphis. I just coined that today, by the way. But I'm telling you, that guy, he is a rat. He's so vile, they threw him out of the Tennessee State House. That guy is taking on Steve Cohen, a sitting U.S. congressman who's a Democrat, and he will more than likely win. And that will once again add another radical progressive to the mix. These people hate America. Hear me on this. They hate us. They hate all of us. White people, they definitely hate you. But they hate America. They hate who we are. They hate what we stand for. This is why those marches over the weekend were sponsored by the Communist Workers of America, the CWA. They want to destroy our country so they can build some sort of a communist utopia on American soil. And they're doing it through our classrooms. And we talked about that yesterday on the show. So all that to say, God bless President Trump, because he is fighting tooth and nail, fighting. And it's not going to be accomplished in 4 years. This is a fight that is going to have to go on for several more administrations before we can get the country back to where it should have been in the first place. So we've got to make sure that we are sending the right kinds of people to Washington, D.C., the right kinds of people, meaning America First patriots. That's what we have to do. We have to do that, because I don't know about you, but I don't want to be funding poop patrols in San Francisco. I don't want to be funding male prostitute bakers. Nobody wants to do that. Come on. What's wrong with you people? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show. Friends, here's a reality check. Your biggest retirement expense likely isn't groceries or healthcare. It's taxes. Add inflation eating away at your dollar, and it's easy to see why so many run out of money. Lassiter Capital helps solve that problem by giving you access to real estate investments designed to generate income, protect against inflation, and provide huge tax advantages. Founder Ty Lassiter calls it the four keys to investment success. Visit LassiterCapital.com/Starnes or call 817-912-1569 to schedule your free consultation. And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Chip Roy, the congressman out of Texas, man, he tore it up yesterday. He's one of a handful of Republicans up on Capitol Hill that's just telling it like it is. And here's Congressman Roy yesterday.
Political rallies. And the truth is, the Marxists, the radicals, and the Islamists, the Democratic Party promoted this weekend, they cannot handle the truth. The truth is that there is a king, and that king is Jesus. And the president has been willing to say it. His administration has been willing to say it. And Charlie Kirk was willing to say it, and he got killed for it.
And he's absolutely correct. I mean, this is where we are right now. You know, it's interesting. I've been watching, and I don't know if you've been watching, a lot of the folks rising up now wanting to be the next Charlie Kirk, and they're not getting it. I don't see anybody out there that's understanding what Charlie was doing. Charlie was not out there intentionally antagonizing people, right? He was literally having genuine conversations with people. And that is something that is missing in all of this. And you've got these folks that are out there trying to, even some of the conservative journalists, and they're literally inserting themselves into the story by going into these Antifa riots and all these protests and everything and trying to get themselves beat up, trying to get themselves involved in some sort of a situation. That takes away from the bigger issue here. And the bigger issue is that you've got the left that is trying to shut us down and silence us. On top of that, and this is something that we are going to have to address, and that is the rise of Islam in America. And you've got, there are some lawmakers out there that are now suggesting we need to immediately stop all immigration from Muslim communities and Muslim countries, rather, until we can get a handle on what's happening in this country. And honestly, I'm not sure that's actually going to work. I don't know that that would actually stop the rise of Islam in America. I mean, it is poised now. Are you ready for this? With the numbers, and especially within the birthing community of the Muslims, they are now poised to become the second largest religion in the United States in about 15 or 20 years. May happen before that. And when you take a long, hard look at these countries around the world that have gone completely Islamic, and you have Islamists who are actually running these countries, it is a very bad situation for all you Christians and Jews and LGBT folks. Just want to point that out. So this is going to be, and this is going to be an ugly conversation. You're going to have people calling you Islamophobic, xenophobic. But the reality is the Islamic faith, when you look at the Quran, that is not compatible with our founding documents at all. And the reason why is because our founding documents, every single one of our founding documents, was based on precepts and teachings that were gleaned from the Old Testament and the New Testament. Judeo-Christian. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. I've got something very exciting for you, the perfect way to celebrate America's 250th birthday next July 4th. It's called Young Washington, a brand new film from Angel Studios and The Wonder Project. Now, this is not the George Washington on the dollar bill. No, this is the untold story of the young man. At just 20 years old, George Washington faced failure, near-death experiences, and trials that forged the courage and character that would one day win America's independence. Now, this is not a watered-down history lesson. Young Washington is bold, it's authentic, and it's rooted in truth, showing the values and moral backbone that we need to be reminded of today. Directed by John Irwin, starring Andy Serkis, Ben Kingsley, and Kelsey Grammer. This is a big, cinematic, high-quality film that you're going to be proud to watch with your entire family. But here's the deal. Early support determines how many theaters show this film. So when you join the Angel Guild, you help secure more screens. You lock in 2 free tickets, gain access to Angel's full streaming library, and get exclusive behind-the-scenes updates from the cast and director. So let's make Young Washington the number one movie in America this Independence Day. Go to angel.com/Todd and join today. All right, so Curtis Sliwa, he is the guy, you might remember him just decades ago. He's the guy that created the Guardian Angels back when New York City was a hellhole. And Sliwa became infamous in some circles, famous in others, for the work he did keeping average New Yorkers safe. So now this guy is the Republican nominee for mayor in New York City. He's only polling at about, I think, 19%. Those are the latest numbers I saw, 19%. Zohran Mamdani, the communist jihadist, polling at well over 40%. And now you've got, as a matter of fact, 43%. And then you've got Andrew Cuomo, the grandma killer, at 28.9%. So here's where we're at. There, somebody's going to have to drop out or Mamdani becomes the mayor. I mean, it really is that simple. So the question is, who is that person going to be? And a lot of people are now putting pressure. A lot of Republicans are putting pressure on Curtis Sliwa to step out of the race. Now, understand this. Curtis Sliwa is a liberal Republican. He hates Donald Trump. As a matter of fact, in a debate, Sliwa said that he would not support having the NYPD cooperate with the National Guard if they came to New York City to deal with all the crime and the corruption. So Sliwa is technically a Democrat with an R behind his name. So the question is, who is the more palatable? So in essence, you've got three Democrats here running. So the question is, which one can stop Zohran Mamdani? I will tell you that the Democrats who are supporting Andrew Cuomo are not going to vote for Curtis Sliwa. They're just not going to do that. So the question then becomes, all right, well, what about Curtis Sliwa? Will his voters go with Andrew Cuomo? What should they do here? Now, the New York Post is now calling on Sliwa to drop out of the race. And this was written by the entire editorial board. Let me back up for just a moment. John Castamatidis, good friend of this program. He owns WABC Radio in New York City. And even he carries Curtis's radio show on his station. Castamatidis is a billionaire many times over. He is in the supermarket business. And he said, Curtis, we love you, but you got to go. It's not going to work. You don't have the numbers. There's no way for you to get a majority here. It's over. So the New York Post, writing this op-ed, saying that Sliwa is absolutely right that it's not his fault that New York is in this quarter, but fault isn't the issue here. The simple fact is the Republican nominee is far back in third place in every poll with zero chance of winning. Polls show Andrew Cuomo within spitting distance of Mamdani if Sliwa quits the race. But if Curtis stays in and Andrew loses, then Sliwa will get the blame. The Post goes on to say, plenty of readers will erupt in fury at us, and we get it. No one will confuse this page or the Post as Cuomo fans. That's not the issue. In a dire situation, we've got to deal with the facts as they are, ugly as they are. With no disrespect to Curtis Sliwa, if the Republican Party wants to be a viable alternative to the Democrats, it has to do better. And this is the God's honest truth, ladies and gentlemen. It's not Sliwa's fault. He's the only guy that stood up and said, you know what? I'll run for office. Instead, you've got the Republicans in New York embroiled in some sort of a civil war that spilled out when Gavin Wax allegedly leaked all these horrible text messages, private group chats that Politico got a hold of. And by the way, he leaked them to the Politico, allegedly. Instead of dealing with the fact that they've got a city to save, they're too busy trying to destroy each other. And that's got to stop. That's a party-wide problem, by the way. The New York Post going on to say, if Republicans had come up with a more credible candidate with a second line less eccentric than protect animals, by the way, that was the platform that Sliwa ran on, protect animals. What about the rest of us, Curtis? Dude. The fact remains that Mamdani is poised to win and do major deadly damage to the lives of all New Yorkers. He must be stopped. It stinks, but for the sake of the city you love so deeply, Curtis, please swallow this bitter pill. Well, in response to that, Curtis Sliwa says he will not pull out of the race no matter what. He is in it to win it. So my question to you, ladies and gentlemen, and trust me, when New York City falls, when New York City collapses, it will impact every single one of us because we will have to bail out New York City. That's the way that's going to work. I'm just telling you right now. So the question is, what's the play here? Do you hold your nose? Do you send Granny to New Jersey and vote for Cuomo? Is that what you do here? Or as a matter of principle, do you vote Republican and let Mamdani become the first Muslim jihadist communist mayor of New York City? What do you do? It's a conundrum, and one the Republicans really are responsible for. Republicans in New York have not been playing smart politics for a very long time. Honestly, they should have run Lee Zeldin, and I think Lee probably would have won. So curious to hear your thoughts on this. What do you do? I mean, this is going to be a conundrum for Republicans. What do you do here? 901-260-5926. Let's go to North Carolina. Tim listening to us today. Hi, Tim. What's up?
Good afternoon, Todd. Well, you can call me cold-hearted and cruel and whatever, but to me, it's not that hard. You know, I think the last person that you might have called a conservative candidate or a conservative mayor in New York City was Rudy Giuliani. So, and he was even liberal on a number of things, and we all know that. They weren't about to have any sort of a conservative mayor. So, therefore, I say let the knuckleheads put Mamdani in. I think it could be very instructive. You know, that's generally how people learn anyway. We can all gather around and watch it all burn down. I haven't lost anything in New York City. I'm not going.
So you're saying, you know what, let's let the communists take over New York City. Maybe we could, I don't know, do we wall it off here?
I think a wall might work, yeah.
My only concern here, Tim, is that this sort of ideology spreads out of New York City into other towns and cities. I think we're on the verge of something very dangerous happening nationwide in our country.
Well, and that could very well be. It's chilling to watch some of the places around the country. You know, I think we're all conservatives are doing basically the same thing as we look around the country and we think, and particularly if you live someplace that's, normal. And you have normal people around you. I'm in Eastern North Carolina. We're very conservative. We're just very normal, you know. So it's a problem. But I'm thinking if they can do no better than that, they deserve themselves. I'm sorry.
We did an interview with Ryan Leonard. He's the president of the College Republicans at New York University. Ryan's a good conservative kid. We're going to play that interview in just a minute. What I find interesting in our conversation, Tim, you're going to hear him talking about the reality of being a young person. And he is in college, I would say 19, 20 years old. And a lot of even conservative young people are struggling right now financially. They cannot get a leg up in this economy for whatever reason. And if you, that has been the mobilizing issue for a lot of voters in New York City. And Tim, we heard Marjorie Taylor Greene a few days ago talking about that issue and how the Republicans are turning a blind eye to it. But even her own kids at that age, in that age range, mid-20s, are struggling. And that could come back and bite all of us in the behind in the midterm elections.
Well, I get it. I mean, I understand it. But here was the thing that got me sort of going down this road, and that was the fact I just don't think it's fair to say to a fella, and he's semi-liberal or liberal, sure, but I just don't think it's fair. Rush would call it too smart by half on a lot of issues just to say, oh, we figured it out. You got to get out, and maybe we can. Well, no, I'm sorry. That's just not, I don't think that's right. He seems to be a good-hearted in a lot of ways. I know that there's lots of things he and I would vehemently disagree about, but there are enough people, and I really think you might want to discuss this. I think there's enough folks that don't vote in New York City, haven't voted, that ought to wake up, see what's going on, you know, and get busy and get out and vote and be responsible. And they could swing this in a totally different direction.
Well, they could, and look, Sliwa's in it. So he came out today and said, you know what, I don't care what anybody else says. I am in this thing. So now Republicans, they've got an obligation here to vote for their candidate, even if it means, look, no Democrats are voting for Curtis Sliwa. That's just not going to happen. So the question is, are there enough Republicans, you know, if the Democrats are splitting the vote between Cuomo and Mamdani, are there enough Republicans that you might be able to stage some sort of an upset? But right now, the polling numbers, I mean, Mamdani's got a 20-point lead over the guy.
Well, it's a shame that in this country, but just looking at recent history, it's a shame in the country that people can't pay attention, do a little bit of research, do a little reading, listen up, and make some good decisions. But what just happened in the country? Things went too far, they got too crazy, and it finally got people's attention. I don't know what they were doing, watching stupid TV or something, I don't know what. But it finally got their attention, and enough people said, whoa, wait a minute, this is just nuts. And things began to swing back. And
We'll see what happens here. I will say this, and Tim, thanks for the call. President Trump was asked about Sliwa. He was doing an interview with Bartiromo over at Fox News. And he said that he has not spoken to Sliwa, get this, in over a decade, and said that it's pretty much a love-hate relationship. The president says, I don't even know what the guy is. I don't even know if he's a Republican. And Trump is also sort of creeped out over the whole animal platform that Curtis Sliwa is running on. And this is the headline for the New York Post. Trump cringes over Curtis Sliwa's cat obsession, saying that the mayoral race is not exactly ideal. And I guess that's a good way to put it. But here's the deal. Republicans, it just seems to me, and here's where party loyalty comes into it. You know, if the guy refuses to drop out, and he had a lot of people asking him, begging him, pleading with him to drop out, if he's not going to drop out, well, you got to get behind him. And so my question is, what is the state party doing there? What is the National Party doing to save New York from the clutches of this jihadist? I mean, in all seriousness, that's crazy. Let's go to Steve in North Carolina. Hi, Steve. What say you?
Well, actually, I think Mamdani getting elected in as the mayor of New York City would be very good economically for all the areas that the New York City businesses would be moving to as they flee his communist paradise.
So you think a lot of these folks, a lot of these businesses, Wall Street businesses, would be vacating, you know, evacuating to, say, a North Carolina or more than likely Florida?
Absolutely. Absolutely. New York Stock Exchange has been researching that for a while. Fox News could take a lesson from CNN, who's been in business based out of Atlanta, Georgia, ever since they started. There's no reason to remain in business in New York City if you're operating a business on a capitalist basis and want to maintain a profit.
Yeah, I'm with you, Steve. And that's why, look, a lot of businesses have already left. And I think you will see a mass exodus if Mamdani is elected, because he's already said he's going after the super rich and he's going after white people, period. So that's how he plans to fund all of this. You know, he wants to open up grocery stores, government-run grocery stores, wants to give everybody free subway rides, bus rides. All of that's coming from those white people that he's going to be taxing out the wazoo. Steve, got to run. Let's go to Vicki in Hendersonville, North Carolina. So, Vicki, I understand you're a native New Yorker.
Yes, I am. I live in Hendersonville, North Carolina now. But I was born and raised on Long Island. And I think what might happen this time is Republicans that ordinarily don't vote in the mayoral race are going to vote this time because of who and what he is. Most of the time they don't vote because they say, why waste our time? It's always going to be a Democrat, you know, so why should we bother? But you got to remember there's five boroughs in New York City. Manhattan is the most liberal. But the rest of them are a lot of working class people, moderate Democrats, et cetera. And I think they are going to vote this time when they ordinarily don't. So as to whether or not it's going to be Sliwa or Cuomo, I don't know. But I don't think New Yorkers are foolish enough to let him win.
Just to give you an idea of what we're dealing with here, Vicki, according to the New York State Board of Elections, there are about 3.3 million registered Democrat voters in New York City. There are about 559,000 Republicans.
Okay.
Ouch.
But think about all the Democrats that voted for Trump. So, what are moderate Democrats out there that realize what Mondani is and don't want him in there?
So, here's the question. So let's just say that, let's say you're a moderate Democrat, Vicki. Do you vote a moderate Democrat? Do you vote for a Cuomo or do you vote for a Curtis Sliwa?
Probably Cuomo. Hold your nose and vote for Cuomo.
Yeah. So that's the problem. So the challenge is going to be, you know, those two guys, Cuomo and Sliwa, are splitting the vote. The bigger issue, you've got 1.1 million registered independent voters in that they have no party affiliation. That's the number. And ultimately, and this could work to somebody's favor, either Sliwa's or Cuomo's, young people typically do not go out and vote.
Right.
So we shall see. All right, Vicki, thank you for the call. Folks, got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98 and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set. Normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, Kings only $19.98. Also for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. All right, we've got an update on this crazy AI video of President Trump dumping sewage over Midtown Manhattan. This story, it will not go away, and it's just, it cranks me up. only because it shows you how unserious some people are. And God love them, but the Democrats, they don't have a sense of humor, ladies and gentlemen. Absolutely no sense of humor. All right, we got to take a quick break here. Don't forget in the break, head over to ToddStearns.com. And if you haven't done so, you can check out our website. You can also check out our free newsletter. Great resources for you. And we also have some great stories as well. Hang tight, everybody. Hour two of the big show coming up. We'll be right back, America.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to hour two of the big show. Good to have you with us. So, a lot happening up on Capitol Hill, and man, I am so proud of the work they're doing now in the Senate. Senate Republicans seem to have their footing, and the president out there saying that it's very clear that now that the rules have been changed, that the Republicans are able to get through the president's nominees. And I just think that is absolutely terrific. There was really a backlog, a log jam of all of these nominees, because the Democrats just simply refused to move. So the Republicans changed the rules, and over 173 administration officials now confirmed. Meanwhile, you've got all this chaos over President Trump and this AI video. And I don't know if you've seen the video. We have it up on our website. But the video shows President Trump flying in a jet, Top Gun music blaring, the president with his crown on his head, dumping raw sewage on, of all people, Harry Sisson. Now, Harry Sisson is a 23-year-old Democrat operative, and he is as annoying as you could possibly be. He's basically David Hogg with a little more meat on his bones. So this guy is all upset. He's pitching a fit. He's claiming his life is in danger now. Even Hunter Biden is weighing in on this. And Hunter Biden, from the laptop from hell, Hunter Biden, says that this is so sad to watch. Forget about how juvenile it is, what the president did. Hunter says, so when I see the president of the United States creating an AI video wearing a crown and dumping excrement on the heads of American peaceful protesters and TikTok stars like Harry, I see him basically painting a bullseye on somebody like that. Well, here's the problem with Hunter Biden. First of all, that guy ought to be in jail. Second of all, President Trump is not hurling feces at anybody. It's a video. But there are Democrats who are literally hurling bullets and other violent things at law-abiding conservatives. This is insanity. As a matter of fact, it was Hunter Biden's dad, and I pointed this out on Newsmax last night. If you remember, it was Hunter Biden who actually went after law-abiding gun owners, and Joe Biden, remember what President Biden said, that if the people who support the Second Amendment really want a war with the government, they're going to have to go out there and get themselves some fighter jets and nuclear weapons. So I would much rather have President Trump dumping AI-generated poop on protesters than President Biden dropping a literal nuclear bomb on us. But that's just me. Unbelievable, these people. But they're really taking this. And here's the problem. This is the reason why these people are so butthurt. They're not used to Republicans fighting back. And I know about you, ladies and gentlemen. I love this. I love the fighting back. I love it. Our good buddy Luke Symbol, who is with the Republican Party in the Memphis area, you know, Memphis Republicans are learning how to fight back now. And they're doing, and it really has the Democrats caught off guard. They don't know how to respond because they're not used to anybody pushing back and calling out their BS to their face. I want you to take a listen. This was on the ABC TV affiliate. Our good buddy Luke Symbol went on there. It was 3-1. They had the two far-left hosts. One of them is a journalism professor. Then the reporter for the local newspaper. And the story was about some radical elected leader who tried to get her bodyguard to smuggle a gun into the courthouse. And the local newspaper didn't even cover it. You have a state investigation underway, and the local newspaper took a pass on it. Take a listen to cut number 3.
And let me address something here. And I'm certainly by no means a Democratic activist here. I'm far from it. But I just think that we're hearing too many Republican talking points here. Tammy Sawyer, while she was a part of that initial press conference, let's not make her the villain here when we are talking about this particular issue here. But I think Mayor Harris is raising some concerns that should not be dismissed.
She was at every single one of his press conferences on the topic now. I think it's interesting she's no longer here.
But Brent Taylor made that very well in one of his regular post on
Facebook.
But
it goes to Mayor Lee Harris's talking points right now to have one of the city's loudest anti-law enforcement activists at your press conferences denouncing law enforcement's attempt to clean up our city, to take our city back from the criminal and give it to the law-abiding to enjoy. That is what we are seeing through this aggressive policing, and I just think it's telling that suddenly, because of her outburst last week, that, by the way, the Daily Memphian did not report on, except in their little daily multiple stories, they had a couple sentences about it, but for her to suddenly be absent, I think is very telling, and I think previous.
So they never invite me to come on to these things, and the reason why is they're terrified of me. Terrified. And I wish you could have seen the video, but clearly the journalism guy was enraged that Luke Symbol was daring to question his facts, and then the little newspaper guy was sitting there, and he would have peed himself. And I think he was. I mean, because they're all terrified. They're not used to being called out on the local level or the national level. And this is what I love about Donald Trump. Donald Trump has given us the playbook. He said, this is how you win. This is how you fight back. And you can do it in a fun, clever way. You know, I'm a nice guy, but I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to say what needs to be said. And whenever we do a show or we're invited to come on a show, we do our homework. As a matter of fact, I want to know what the other side is thinking. I want to know what the other side is saying so that we can, again, present facts to the American people and say, no, this is what the far left media is telling you, but here's what's really going on. So anyway, that I wish they would, because, you know, we had an attorney. Oh, what was it? Oh, hold on a second. Dylan, you would have loved this story. There was a prominent attorney in the area, and his whole spiel is that all white people are pretty much bad. And he was talking about coons, not like raccoons, but coons. And so I just immediately reached out and said, sir, what do you mean by that? What exactly, sir, are you referring to, and who are you referring to? I'm trying to call up this. Who was this guy? I'm not going to read his name to you, but he was really enraged over white. Oh, here we go. He said racist politicians. His name is Henry Reeves III. He said racist politicians and coons have started attacking Mayor Lee Harris for protecting the rights of his constituents. So the mayor here is trying to sue to get the National Guard out of Memphis, Tennessee. And so I simply responded, perhaps this prominent Memphis attorney could provide us with his working definition of coon. And if it's not too much trouble, could the attorney also provide us with a list of the alleged racist politicians and links to their alleged racist acts? I mean, that seems to me very reasonable, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, you're going to call somebody a racist? Fine, call somebody a racist, but at least have the man parts to put the evidence out there. That's all I'm saying. So anyway, the guy reached out. Dylan, this is great. So the attorney reached out. This is insane. And I'm gonna call this up here. And he's basically wanting to come on and have a debate with me. And I'm like, well, all right. I mean, if that's what you want to do, happy to do it. But it turns out, hold on, I've got to read this to you. So anyway, he said, you should invite me on your top show for an interview debate. He's buttering me up, Dylan.
That's how they do it.
He said, you should invite me on your top show. Oh, maybe he meant talk show. Whoops, that could be a typo. Like, just like they did in the 1960s, we can go live. It will bring a lot of traffic, a joint stream. Have a blessed day, brother. Jesus Christ is King. I guess he doesn't think I'm a coon then.
Guess not. But did you ever learn what that word actually meant?
No.
In his context?
So I was going to reply. I'm like, okay, let's have a debate. Let's do the debate. And I tried to respond, and he says, you are no longer able to send messages to this person. I got blocked.
You're on the block list, Todd.
Drat, foiled again. Anyway, all that to say that the Republicans are learning, and they're doing. And as a result of that, and look how it's all playing out. It doesn't even matter that the media is on the side of the Democrats here, because the American people are not. Because the American people are smart, and they know what's really going on here. And if we can take that playbook and master that playbook, and we're nowhere near that point, right? As a party, as conservatives, as a movement, we're not there yet, but we can be. And imagine if we had, I don't know, thousands of people that were taking stands like that. Imagine what we could do. I'm telling you, folks, I'm feeling very encouraged about this. Yeah, there's a lot of chaos and garbage going on out there, but these kinds of things really give me hope for America. All right, we've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back. Good to have you with us. So there's some controversy over in Texas at the state fair where James Tallarico is raising cane. He's a state representative, and this guy claims to be a moderate. He is a Presbyterian seminarian running for the U.S. Senate, and he's at the state fair, and he's very upset because – you know, when you go to the state fair, Dylan, you ever go to the, we've got the Delta State Fair here?
Yes, it's fun. I haven't been in a while.
So have you ever gotten the food? Any, you know, they have a lot of food at these fairs.
The food is now the best part as an adult. The rides are scary.
A little pricey?
I can't remember, but not okay. Too bad if I don't recall.
So the Texas State Fair, Oreos, fried Oreos, $14 at the state fair. A funnel cake chicken sandwich, $15. And you know the giant turkey legs?
Yes.
The Brontosaurus turkeys?
Oh, good.
$25.
Oh, wow.
For a turkey leg.
That's a hefty price for a turkey leg.
Well, it's Texas. Everything is big in Texas.
I guess the prices.
So Tallarico is blaming the tariffs for the increases. Now, here's the problem. Just about everything that is sold at the Texas State Fair actually comes from America. So and locally. So that has nothing to do with it. As a matter of fact, people are pointing this out. If you're going to use that argument, you also have to blame the price of parking on tariffs. It costs $30 to park your car at the Texas State Fair, and it costs $40 if you want a premium spot. So is he suggesting that parking prices are being impacted by tariffs as well? Come on, get out of here. As a matter of fact, somebody was pointing out that A lot of the folks, the vendors at the state fair, actually have to pay fees to the state fair organizers. So there's a lot of money. As a matter of fact, according to this gentleman, food vendors are required to pay a percentage of their gross sales back to the fair. According to the State Fair of Texas Food and Beverage Concessionaire application, it starts at a minimum of 23.5% of gross sales, including sales tax. which is why you good people in Texas are paying $25 for a turkey leg. I'm just saying. So there you go. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Had Ryan Leonard on the show yesterday, and Ryan is the president of the NYU College Republicans there in New York City, talking about this crazy mayor's race. Let's take a listen. Ryan Leonard, president of the College Republicans at New York University, joins us. Ryan, what is going on here, and are New Yorkers really embracing a jihadist?
They seem to be embracing him very much, which is insane because this is just another one of those examples of him letting the mask slip on how radical he truly is. You know, he can go into a debate and seem pretty normal, but when it comes down to it, he's just so much more insanely radical than he really lets on.
I know that you go out and you do these one-on-one interviews with folks, man on the street interviews. What are some of the big things that people are struggling with in New York, and why the attraction to two-man Dahmer?
Yeah, so I think he taps into a justified concern a lot of people have about their economic future, especially the younger generation feels like they didn't grow up in the same world as their parents and, you know, worry if they can ever buy a house or afford a decent standard of living. And, you know, he really taps into this, you know, justified fear by promising people everything, promising them all these free things that he really is not going to be able to deliver on.
You know, I don't want to get too far off base here, but you brought up the economy, and Marjorie Taylor Greene, the congresswoman from Georgia, she says that if the Republicans do not take that issue seriously, especially with voters your age, there could be problems in the midterms. Do you agree with what the congresswoman is saying?
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, we need to look at how the Democrats are doing it, addressing the economy, and even just meeting us where we're at on social media. You know, kids my age spend 6-7 hours a day on TikTok, Instagram, all these things. They're meeting us where we're at, and they're addressing the problems that young people are talking about. So we need to really meet people where they're at and start addressing the things that they're concerned about.
You know, I want to go back to this photo for just a moment. Your generation, you were pretty young when the terrorist attacks happened, and a lot of people don't really understand the significance of what it was like to be in America then and the aftermath. Vice President J.D. Vance calling for Democrats to condemn the photo on X. Let's put that up on the screen, guys. I've been reliably informed that Democrats are opposed to any kind of political violence, so I look forward to them universally condemning Zohran Mamdani. So I say all that to say this and to bring in this question, Ryan. We are in a time in this country now where the nation's largest city, which was attacked by jihadists, may very well elect one as mayor. What does that tell you about the state of the country?
Yeah, I mean, people are forgetting, you know, this terrible atrocity. You know, you said I was very young. This is actually a couple years before I was even born. It seems like people are forgetting this terrible tragedy and, you know, being okay with someone who, and on top of that, you know, he's hanging out with Hassan Piker, this influencer who has said America deserves 9/11. I think people just don't care anymore. People are forgetting this terrible atrocity we've gone through as a country.
I want to put up this poll from AARP showing Mamdani holding a double-digit lead. They're saying that, 43.2% support. Then Andrew Cuomo, 28.9%, followed by Curtis Sliwa at 19.4%. There are a lot of people saying that Sliwa needs to drop out of the race. He doesn't have a chance, and he's going to hurt Cuomo's chances. What are you guys saying as college Republicans?
I think as college Republicans, we're saying Cuomo is the one who needs to drop out. He's lost in his own party. He lost his primary, and he's kind of brought the Democrats and Republicans together.
All right. Good to have you back with us, everybody. Christmas is just around the corner. Did you know that? We got Halloween and Thanksgiving, but you got to go ahead. I was over at the pharmacy getting my drugs the other day, and I noticed they're already putting out the Christmas knickknacks. So lots of really nice stuff, actually. But all that to say, my brand new book is called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. It is a terrific, terrific Christmas gift for a conservative loved one, no matter their age, but especially if you have a grandma or aunt or mom, it is also a great stocking stuffer. So get yourself a copy at your favorite bookstore. You can also get one at Amazon, or you can get a personally signed and inscribed copy at toddstearns.com. Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good buddy, our chief Republican strategist here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show, Josh Jones. Josh, is it true you ordered 25 copies of the book for your Christmas presents?
Well, listen, I haven't yet, but it's a good idea.
Wait, what are you waiting for? All right, Cassia will get your credit card information immediately after the program here. So, by the way, nice job on Newsmax. You know, you come on the Newsmax show, a lot of people are like, what does Josh Jones look like? And if you watch the show, you'll be able to see him. Do you hear from people that see you on Newsmax?
I do. I mean, number one, a bunch of the folks back home are big fans of the show, and also now that I'm started going on, they'll reach out and be like, "Oh, you did so good," or like, you know, great topic, or you know, whatever it is. But you know, it's been a fun time. Both, you know, obviously doing the radio show is great, but you know, jumping on Newsmax in the evenings every now and again is also good.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, a lot to talk about, no doubt. And of course, you're originally from Virginia, and there is a huge race coming up. And you've got the Lieutenant Governor, Winsome Earl Sears, going up against former Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger, who is the Democrat. And then you've got the craziness of the Lieutenant Governor. Every single race is crazy, from Lieutenant Governor, Attorney General, the whole thing. What are you hearing, and how do you think things are going to play out?
I mean, look, yeah, number one, you're absolutely right. The whole, from top to bottom, each of the statewide races have their own scandals and stories, and it's been an interesting election cycle, to say the least. But, like, the Democrats in Virginia, you know, typically do well, especially, we call it the curse of the Potomac in Virginia. Basically, whichever party wins the White House the next year, that party loses the governor's race in Virginia. So, obviously, President Trump won re-election last year. So Democrats have the advantage heading into this November. It's just the natural course of things in Virginia. That paired with the fact that the spending between Republicans versus Democrats this go around is absolutely abysmal for Republicans. Keeping up with the ad market is just very difficult for Republicans this cycle, just because of the lack of fundraising. So, you know, obviously that you should obviously go out, vote, tell your friends to vote. But it's going to be competitive, to say the least. But heading into November, Democrats have the upper hand as of right now.
You've got some brand-new polling data out, the Kaplan Strategies poll, giving Spanberger a 10-point lead. You had a poll from Christopher Newport University that showed Spanberger up by 10 points. And then the Washington Post and George Mason have Spanberger up by 12. Do we read into anything here? Oh, the Trafalgar, though, actually showed a much closer race, with Spanberger up by only 3 points. What do you make of all of this?
Look, I mean, you have a widespread of the polls. And look, polls can very often be wrong. I mean, if you go back to 2016, obviously with President Trump and Hillary Clinton, the polls were way off. So, you know, people shouldn't put all their stake or stock into a poll, regardless of how close or how far apart it is. But it is a good indicator to try and get a pulse on things. I will say, with what happened in the Attorney General's race with Jason Meares and Jay Jones, and how that story developed, and it's obviously still being talked about, that's going to have, I think, a reverse, I would say trickle down, but, you know, with AG being on the bottom of the ticket, trickle up effect for Republicans, both in the Lieutenant Governor's race and in the Governor's race, of helping sway some of those more independent, moderate voters our way.
This John Reed race, which is, it's weird, you know, they've got the allegations that he was somehow doing, you know, Nazi porn. I mean, there are a lot of scandals there, but is that having any sort of an impact on John Reed and his race?
Look, I mean, I don't think so, because like you said, the how scandal-ridden all of these races have been, from governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, has absolutely saturated the market when it comes to, I guess, the political scandal market, so to speak. But so mainly everybody's been talking about the AG's race as of late, and rightfully so, but I don't think you've seen the lieutenant governor's race break into the mainstream, partially because the Democrat nominee for the lieutenant governor's side refuses to debate. She won't accept any debate offer from anybody, instead of doing the Joe Biden playbook of running a campaign from a basement. So I think that's and that's probably their strategy, because they don't want people to hear how crazy she is. I think that's kind of why you're not seeing so much of it in the media compared to the other races.
Yeah, I think going back to the whole Reid thing, you know, he's having some trouble raising money, and that could ultimately, you know, that could ultimately be the challenge there. But again, it's just just a weird race. Can we read anything into this nationally, or is this a Virginia-centric race?
I mean, there's always people always look to Virginia and also New Jersey and their governor's races, because they come right after the presidential race. So it's kind of the first bellwether into the first year of whatever new administration, also in this case the Trump administration. So there's definitely some national indicators to a degree. I think in a lot of ways, particularly in this race, it is very Virginia-centric, because you really haven't seen a ton of national figures get involved. I mean, you get comments every now and again. I know President Obama made an ad for Abigail Spanberger, and he'll be joining her on the campaign trail later this month. And you know, President Trump commented on the race the other day. But really, you haven't seen this race nationalize as much as other races have historically. But, I mean, it's obviously something people should pay attention to, because this is the only major election between now and the midterms. So you need to learn what you can from this and gear up for next year.
Yeah. Josh Jones joining us, by the way, folks, our Republican strategist here on the show. And Josh, you mentioned New Jersey, which has been a blue state for a very long time. And yet Jack Cetarelli is really doing – he's been running a great race. The latest polling I saw, the Democrat, who is she's up by, 3 percentage points, which is pretty impressive in blue New Jersey.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he is a good candidate, and he ran for governor last go around, which I think has given him an advantage here, because he has that kind of already pre-established name ID and a campaign operation from, you know, a couple of years ago. So he's definitely put himself in a good spot. And to your point, I mean, New Jersey has always been a very blue state. So the fact that that race is within 3 points, and we still got a little bit to go, is a good sign for Republicans. So obviously, you know, Virginia as well, but New Jersey Republicans have to get out and vote this November.
Yeah, the last time they elected a Republican there was, I think, back in 2013. And so, Will, this is going to be fascinating. I know there have been a number of Democrat lawmakers who have actually renounced their party and have joined the Republicans. So if you were, as a matter of fact, years ago, Jeff Van Drew, who was a longtime congressman, was Democrat, and he switched over and became a Republican.
Yeah, and it's honestly something we've seen a lot recently from, or I'll say a lot, but, you know, in a few high-profile cases. I mean, you had Tulsi Gabbard, who, you know, ran as a Democrat in 2020, and then now, you know, has joined the Republican Party and is part of President Trump's administration. So there's definitely, I mean, and there's more than that, but, like, that's just the one that comes to mind offhand. So, it's definitely something you've been seeing.
So here's what gets me, though, about this New Jersey race. So Mickey Sherrill is the Democrat running. So she went to the Naval Academy, and there's a scandal there, and the local media, you know, or the state media, they're really not willing to do a deep dive. She got in trouble, and whatever it was, it prevented her from walking at her graduation back in 1994, and nobody knows anything about it. And that is really causing her some issues, and I think the Republicans have done a pretty good job of saying, you know, can you really, really trust this woman?
Right, yeah, because, I mean, it's a great point, and it's a fair question to ask, too, like, because it was something innocent enough, or obviously not innocent necessarily, but, like, you know, something where it wasn't a big deal, you know, she should come out and own that and stop the bleeding, politically speaking. So the fact that they haven't done that definitely lends, you know, to folks and hopefully the media asking more questions about, you know, exactly whatever that scenario was.
All right. I'm going to put you on the spot here. We got to talk about New York for just a second. So you got Mamdani. He's leading 20 points over Sliwa, who's the Republican nominee. And you've got everybody now begging him to back out of the race, drop out of the race. He's not going to do it. He's announced that he is in it to win it. The guy's basically a Democrat anyway, but he's got an R behind his name. So what do you tell candidates, you know, when they're in a situation here where they could be the spoiler, and quite frankly, New York City could be on the verge of electing a communist?
Look, I mean, you're absolutely correct. Listen, politics is politics. Everybody has their opinion. I support people running and getting out there and voicing their opinion. If people back you, that's great. And if they don't, then get out. But when it comes to the New York mayor's race, let's be realistic here. Like I said, he's basically already a Democrat. But I'll go on to say Andrew Cuomo is not the best candidate in the world, but he is sure he's definitely a lot better than Zoran Mondani. Quite literally, the New York City, the most important city in the world, the most capitalist city in the world, arguably, is about to elect a socialist mayor. So the Republican needs to drop out of the race. I'm not even saying he has to necessarily back Cuomo or anybody, but he should get out of the race and don't be a spoiler and try and stop this from happening.
Yeah, he's not going to do it, Josh. And this is going to be fascinating. And we had the president of the NYU College Republicans on Newsmax last night. And Ryan Leonard told me that one of the big issues and one of the things that makes Mamdani an attractive candidate is that people his age are struggling right now with this economy. And I'm wondering if that is, MTG brought this up a couple of days ago and said, if we do not address this, we're going to have problems in the midterms. Are you hearing those rumblings? I mean, you're a Gen Zer as well, on the older side of Gen Z. But are you hearing those kinds of concerns from conservative young people?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and like, I think people are absolutely right in their analysis. The cost of living is the biggest issue across the political spectrum, but particularly when it comes to young people. Because keep in mind where Gen Z is at right now. They're either, if you're on the older side like myself, you've recently entered the workforce, you've been working for a couple of years, or you're getting ready to graduate from college if you're on the younger side and entering the workforce for the first time. And the cost of living and the inflation that we've seen, from the COVID pandemic to now, and wages just haven't kept up. So I'm not saying I agree with Mondani at all, but I will say his messaging is absolutely on point about addressing the cost of living. And whenever I say addressing the cost of living, like real practical things, like Republicans talked about gas prices in the past, and that's helped us. But Mondani, he's talking about grocery prices. He's talking about rent prices and so on and so on. Again, not to say I agree with his solutions or alleged solutions, but the fact that he's talking about it and messaging on it is what's winning him this race right now.
All right. Well, Josh, always great analysis. Good to hear from you and glad you're doing well.
Thanks, Todd. Appreciate it.
All right. Good guy right there, folks. Josh Jones. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back. So, this is interesting. The White House putting out a statement just a little while ago. There's been a lot of controversy. People are all upset. Oh, Trump is tearing down the White House with he's got a wrecking ball. He's got Miley Cyrus on the wrecking ball, and he's destroying the White House. What's going on here? All right, so let's try to work through this. First of all, President Trump is not destroying the White House. They're making room for the brand new White House ballroom, which, by the way, is being created thanks to private donations. So not a single penny of federal money is being used. Your tax dollars aren't being used for this. And as the White House points out, so they're tearing down a section of the East Wing so they can make room for this beautiful ballroom, which, by the way, they have been needing for generations. But nobody actually ever thought of a building an addition to the White House complex. And they're saying, well, this is unprecedented. It is unprecedented. Who does this man think he is? He's trying to turn the White House into Mar-a-Lago. Okay, what's wrong with that? Mar-a-Lago is pretty swanky. I'm just saying. So anyway, the White House just releasing some information for us. It turns out that in 1902, Theodore Roosevelt actually built the West Wing. It turns out the West Wing was not actually a part of the original White House. Teddy Roosevelt tore down greenhouses and built, and by the way, those greenhouses were constructed during the Jefferson administration, as in Thomas Jefferson. And Theodore Roosevelt established the modern-day West Wing office as a classically leaning design. In other words, he made it look like the current White House. In 1909, President William Howard Taft remodeled and expanded the West Wing, which included construction of the first Oval Office. So the Oval Office was not an original part of the White House. Was it also Taft? Taft was a big guy. He got stuck in the bathtub at the White House. I believe he was our most well-rounded president, if I'm remembering that. Oh, and a lot of people are like, well, what about the Rose Garden? He just paved over it. He just paved on just concrete, nasty concrete. He ruined it. Ruined it. All right, calm down. In 1913, President Woodrow Wilson demolished the original Colonial Garden and remodernized it with a Rose Garden. In 1927, President Calvin Coolidge oversaw the renovation of the upper floors and attic of the White House. In 1929, President Herbert Hoover remodeled the West Wing, including building the basement level and remodeling the first floor. 1934, FDR overhauled the West Wing, adding a second floor, a larger basement, and a swimming pool, relocating the Oval Office to its current location. In 1948, Harry Truman totally dismantled the White House. They literally, a lot of people don't realize this, but Harry Truman's daughter was an accomplished pianist. She was playing the piano, and her piano, one of the legs of the piano, actually fell through the floor of the White House. So they brought in the engineers, and they realized the entire building was in danger of collapsing. So they had to move to the Blair House, and they literally tore down everything except the exterior walls of the White House. That's it. The only thing that's original, the exterior walls. And, of course, in 1962, JFK constructed the modern Rose Garden. Nixon converted the swimming pool and the press briefing room. Wow, a Republican is to blame for that. Mm-mm-mm. He also added a bowling alley to the basement. 1975, Gerald Ford added an outdoor swimming pool to the South grounds, all paid for by private donations, and Bill Clinton did a complete renovation of the executive mansion, and Barack Hussein Obama put in a tennis court and basketball court. I don't seem to recall anybody complaining about any of that. But God forbid Donald Trump builds what we should have built in the first place, and everybody's giving him the what for. There you go. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour three of the big show coming up, 901-260-5926. Do you have a problem with President Trump building a new ballroom at the White House?
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, President Trump in the Oval Office, or rather in the Rose Garden, having a great afternoon, yucking it up with Republican senators, invited them over for a luncheon. Oh, that's kind of cool. And the president taking some shots at Rand Paul, and also honoring OMB director Russ Vogt, who he has been calling Darth Vader. I love it. By the way, Vogt, and the reason why they're calling him Darth Vader is he's taking his lightsaber and he's slashing all these Democrat programs permanently, permanently. So I say good for you. By the way, Congressman Tim Burchett joined us last night on Newsmax for a wide-ranging conversation, and just including a lot of the crazy stuff surrounding this past weekend and where we go from now. Let's take a listen to that conversation.
Yeah, hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. And a question to ponder as we begin today's program. Who in their right mind would schedule a nationwide protest on the third Saturday in October on game day in the middle of college football season? That in and of itself, ladies and gentlemen, explains the national divide in this country, which really is not a divide at all based on the low attendance at the weekend No Kings protest. It certainly appears that Democrats have once again hitched themselves to an 80-20 issue. And to make matters even worse, the Democrats seem to have not only lost their minds, but also their funny bones. Now, I want you to watch this brilliant AI video President Trump posted over the weekend. Gotta love this man. Gotta love this man, America. Yeah, President Trump conducting a sortie over Times Square, dumping grade A fertilizer on the leftist loons below. Well, that set off Senator Bernie Sanders.
Look, Trump may be crazy, and he may be a liar, and he may do, you describe, I mean, it's hard to imagine a president. I mean, I don't know what world these guys are living in. Mm-hmm. President of the United States. Dropping feces on an American city.
Right.
All right. They may be all of those things, but this is what they are not. They're not stupid. Mm-hmm. And they are not. They are good politicians. And they're going to look at it. If you think you're why do you think the Republicans are hiding out right now?
Yeah.
Mike Johnson, the speaker, has given them I got them in their fifth week of vacation. Yeah. They're not coming to work. You want to negotiate? They ain't there. All right. So I think that when repeat people all over this country are looking at these notices and say, I can't pay a doubling of my health insurance premiums.
Right.
Republicans will understand that and come to the table.
Oh, my God. Who does that? Who takes a dump on New York City? Oh, my God. He defecated on Broadway. Not cool, Donald. He pooped on us, America. Someone call Mr. Whipple. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The drive-by media. Well, they certainly didn't disappoint. Check this out.
The president uses social media to make a point. You can argue he's probably the most effective person who's ever used social media for that. He is using satire to make a point. He is not calling for the murder of his political opponents. And that's what these people are doing. I mean, they're in one of these photos. I think there's a picture of the president hanging in effigy by a noose on one of these. The one on the far end. I mean, it's unconscionable.
Yeah, well, the hyperbole, it's off the charts. And I don't seem to remember the Dems having any issue with the amount of fertilizer that Barack Obama or Joe Biden spewed into our living rooms every single time they delivered a speech. And for that matter, it was President Biden back in 2021 who actually threatened law-abiding gun owners. He warned Americans that if you think you have the weapons you need to take on the government, well, you need F-15s and maybe some nuclear weapons. Joe Biden said that. And as one of my radio listeners from Cleveland, Georgia, pointed out today, we're better off with Trump dropping poo on the liberals than Biden dropping nukes on America. Well, let's bring in Tennessee Congressman Tim Burchett. Congressman, good to have you with us. And, you know, you're known around town for your wit and charm. What's your take on President Trump's Top Gun moment?
It gets great. Bernie's line, the House has already voted. The Senate is abdicating their duties. They need to come to the table and quit with all the nonsense, adding $1.5 trillion health care for illegals, pastry classes for male prostitutes in Haiti. It's in there. And yeah, all this is just a way to launder money back into dark campaigns and probably into pockets of politicians. America needs to wake up. We got to do more than 12% of people at the polls, Todd. We've got to get to the polls and we've got to turn this country around and quit with all the nonsense. You break out a bunch of 1960s hippies that are in nursing homes. And, you know, you go to the inner city areas and you're picketing, and guess what? It's all white people. And it's not real. It is not real.
You know, again, Congressman, in about a half an hour from now, we're expecting the Senate to take another vote. The next big argument, we're starting to see this already percolate. People are saying they're about to lose their SNAP benefits, their EBT cards. How do you anticipate that playing in the national media?
I think what the national media will do, what they always do, Todd, they show the worst case scenario. And then they'll talk about how Republicans are cutting off the funds to Medicaid, Medicare. And all we did was cut the fraud out. We said you got to at least try to work 20 hours a week. Of course, Congress be hard to find even when we're in session a week where we work 20 hours in reality. But the reality is that America's fed up with people riding for free. And we need to clean it up. And we need to clean it up fast.
Yeah, I hear that from a lot of our listeners. And again, they're still frustrated that we are at Biden era spending levels. So I'm glad that the Republicans, that you guys are holding the line here. But the reality is we got to start cutting some money out of this budget. Do you ever expect that to happen?
No, I'm afraid that, you know, what'll happen is they'll fuss a little bit on both sides and then, you know, the war pimps at the Pentagon are going to get their money, and we'll see us in just more of the same. I'm afraid we need a real awakening on the fiscal responsibility into that. Todd, you and I've talked about that multiple times. We're 36, I guess 37 trillion almost in debt right now. Every 100 days we add another $1 trillion. Nobody's paying attention to it, and Congress isn't. There's about 15 or 20 of us in the congressional side, and probably, I don't know, maybe a half a dozen on the U.S. Senate side that paid this stuff any attention, but you're not seeing the reaction from the people. Again, 12% of the population, as long as they're getting their bridges that they need or their little special projects or the dark money is paying off politicians, I don't think you'll ever see it change. I think if we could ever get to the point where you had single issue spending bills instead of these 3,000 page bills, Todd, dadgummit. What in the world? In Tennessee, as you know, we have a balanced budget state and we have zero debt. And the reason because of that is because they have single issue spending bills. You can't have a dog catcher's bill and put a pay raise in there for legislators. So we've got to clean it up. America, we know what we need to do, but we're not going to do it. It's just like the stock trading bill. People on both sides of the aisle are getting fat. People are making 500 and 600% return on their investments in the Congress. I saw a thing today where over $100 million in stock transactions in the last bit. No, it ain't going to happen until America starts poking the bear, and they need to start poking pretty quick because we don't have a lot of time, I'm afraid.
Congressman, I want to circle back. You said something about pastry chefs and male prostitutes.
Yeah, and in Haiti, there's money in there for that. They want to go back to the old funding level, that $1.5 trillion. You know, it's not just going to do golden toilets. It's going to pay for a lot of things, circumcisions and transgender surgeries and things like that are in this bill.
Wow.
That's what that $1.5 trillion will go back. That's what we cut out. There's a whole litany of things, Todd. I can get it to you, but there's five or six that are pretty telling and they're pretty significant. Maybe in Washington terms, it's not a lot of money, but dadgummit, in the state of Tennessee, it's a whole heck of a lot of money.
Well, that being said, Congressman, I would politely decline those honey buns. Congressman Tim Burchett, thank you, sir.
Great. Thank you, Todd. It's great seeing you, brother.
All right.
All right, I have a question. I have a question for you, America. How much do you tip? You're at the restaurant, and let's just say you're at the Olive Garden, okay? So you're at the Olive Garden, you have a great meal, the service is spectacular. They were always there refilling your glass. They never ask you how the meal is while you're like chewing, your mouth is full of pasta. And they always keep the distance. That they're not overbearing. I'm just curious, how much do you charge, Dylan? You take the misses out every now and again. What do you normally tip? What percentage would you tip?
Well, my base is like 20%, so it can only go up from there.
So it's at the very minimum.
Yeah.
20%.
At least 20.
Okay. So, okay.
If it's really good, like a nice restaurant I know that the service will be good at, it'll probably be close to like 30, 35%.
Well, I tip. I'm not going to tell you what I tip. I'll tell you that later.
Hey, I'm a Gen Zer.
No, you're a Gen Zer. I think that is incredibly generous. I mean, you know, that is a solid tip, and especially for good service, because you're already paying a lot of money for the meal. And even if you're getting the free, you know, because a lot of people at the Olive Garden, you fill up on the breadsticks and do they still have the bottomless salad bowl?
Yeah, you got to be careful with those things.
You got to. I prefer the Caesar salad than the Italian dressing.
I agree.
But anyway, you can do that. As a matter of fact, if you're on a budget, you know, that's a good way to go. Just get the salad and the breadsticks, and that's a meal for you. So I ask that because there is a controversy in the state of Maine, and I'm just loving this conversation because there's actually some science to all of this, shockingly. There's a Democrat running for governor. Pardon me, he's running for Senate. His name is Graham Platner. And back in 2013, and this is the problem, I feel bad for Dylan, your generation, because they go back and they look at all the things that you guys posted on social media. So back in 2013, this guy who was, he was a bartender, and he actually posted something, and he asked a question about why black people don't tip. And it's a running joke. But within the service community at large, this is actually a topic of conversation. Why is it that, by and large, black people do not tip? So anyway, he was on a podcast. Now they're calling him out on this, and they're suggesting this Democrat. He's running as a Democrat. They're suggesting that he may not be qualified to run because he asked this question. I mean, he wasn't, like, making any offensive statements. He was genuinely asking, why is it that black people don't tip? Take a listen.
The first Reddit post I wanted to ask you about is from 2013. So someone wrote on Reddit, what is one question you've always wanted to ask someone of another race? You responded, why don't black people tip? I work as a bartender, and it always amazes me how solid the stereotype is. Every now and again, a black patron will leave a 15 to 20% tip, but usually it is between 0 and 5%. There's got to be a reason behind it. What is it? End of quote. How did you feel rereading that post? And what's your response to people who hear that and think that is like textbook racism and it's offensive?
I mean, one, I was legitimately asking the question. I mean, that was the point of the thread, was to ask the question. Amusingly enough, I remember this time when I had first started bartending. And then I had a conversation with a friend of mine who was black, who was a bartender, who did a great job of walking me through structural injustice and the fact of feelings of lack of agency. There were a whole bunch of reasons, and after that, I was like, oh, yeah, that makes absolutely perfect sense. It was certainly not meant as a malicious thing. I was asking the question because that was kind of the point of the thread, actually.
So you're saying that this is not something that you were posting about, this was not something that you felt, it wasn't meant to be a commentary, it was a question you were sincerely asking on a Reddit thread because you thought there might be some sort of like cultural explanation or something. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah. I grew up in Maine. I had never bartended before. I was living in Washington, D.C. I reread a lot of the comments for obvious reasons. Many of them I'm like, oh God, that one, I must say, like, I mean, I was legitimately curious. And it was not, certainly not meant in any malicious way. And I got an answer soon afterwards in reality from an actual person, but.
All right. That interview just got worse because they were literally pulling every controversial Reddit thing he ever wrote, and he was being called out. It was just brutal. But anyway, the guy said he was just really being honest, and he was trying to get to the bottom of this. So it turns out there are multiple surveys on this. People have actually done studies. I am shocked that they've done studies, but they've done studies. So thegrio.com has a piece up, and they were calling out Ann Coulter. This is back in 2023. Ann Coulter had posted something about the NAACP issuing a travel advisory for Florida, discouraging black people from going there. And Ann Coulter tweeted in response, NAACP issues warning to African Americans to avoid visiting Florida. Employees in restaurants and tourism industry brace for a 0% drop in tips. Jeez. So Griot called that racism, overt racism. Jeez. So anyway, in this article, though, they actually addressed a survey, a Washington Post story about race and tipping, a Washington Post article. They said that inside the food industry, black customers are genuinely considered poor tippers. They reported on a survey of 1,000 servers, which found 34% thought black diners were very bad tippers. Another 36% said black patrons were below average tippers. In a Medium essay, a former server who's black talked about how prevalent that attitude is among servers. A 2006 Los Angeles Times article about race and tipping was pegged to a study that found racial differences in tipping. Black diners, on average, tip 10 to 14% of the bill. White diners, on average, 16% to 19.4%. Dylan, you're above the national average.
Give me a medal or something.
You're also white.
It's true.
I want to point that out. We are related.
Yes.
So, according to the article, black diners receive one explanation is black diners receive lesser service from servers who expect them to tip less. So it's the server's fault. Another is that black diners may not be aware you're supposed to tip 20%. Really? Because it's like written there on the receipt. They do the math for you people. Really? Come on. It's easy. Anyway, I'm just curious here. And this guy may not be able to run because of the question he raised. 901-260-5926 is our number. We'll be right back. So, Dylan, I got to tell you about the trip to Anaheim. And it was first of all, a lot of fun. But I think I figured out one of the things that I noticed. I was I decided to walk over to downtown Disney. And just to check out the scene, I don't like the parks and all that. There was hardly anybody out there. And it really surprises me because you would think it's Disneyland. The weather is great. It's like in the high 70s, low 80s, sunny skies. And you would think there would be wall-to-wall people. I don't know where all the people were. But we were staying at the JW Marriott, which is where the event was with Eric Trump. And it's literally, it's exactly 1 mile, so you can just walk right over to Disneyland. And the part of the hotel, the JW Marriott, they have this very large outdoor lifestyle mall attached to it, which has a lot of, you know, funky shops and all that kind of stuff. It's got a McCormick and Schmick's. It's got the California Pizza Kitchen. Oh, it's got a, gosh, what is the name of the burger joint? Burger and hot dog joint, which is very popular. I'll remember that in just a moment. But it also has a cheesecake factory. And so it's, you know, a lot of nice restaurants. It's a fun thing. And the JW is a 4-star hotel. So anyway, when I go to check in, and of course, all of my stuff is already covered, right? I'm the MC, so they cover everything. So my only concern is for the people who booked me and who scheduled me, right? They're paying for all of this. And so the rooms, and all I could think of was most of the people staying at the hotel were going to Disneyland. Okay, that was the whole point, was that they were going to Disneyland. And it's a very nice hotel. Don't get me wrong, it's a nice hotel. JW Marriott. The rooms, $600 a night, Dylan. $600 a night.
Wow.
But that's not all. So there's a resort fee. And again, this is a 4-star hotel. And I got no problems with that. But then they charge a resort fee on top of the just several hundred dollars in taxes that you have to pay. And they're like resort taxes and whatever. So if you wanted to park your car, valet, it's $70 per night. Dylan, there is no like personal parking. So you have to valet. So if you're staying at the hotel, you have to valet. That's $70 a night just for parking. And then you've got the you've got this resort fee. And they tell me, so this is like a $40 or $50 a night on top of the $600 a night. And so they say, here's the deal. They said, you can use this. And they're going over all of this. And I was trying not to be aggravated. And, I'm like, okay. So you can use the resort. You can use the resort thing for either food. So you can use that as a food credit or beverage credit. Or you can do a daily wine tasting. Or you could do the daily yoga. Now, I try not to drink on these trips. I don't. So, I'm an iced tea guy. So I went, so I decided, I'll just use it for breakfast. I'll do the breakfast buffet. So I get up early. By the way, I'm the only person in this hotel that's speaking English. Everybody was from somewhere else. And I'm sitting there and I thought, I'll have the buffet. So I get the buffet and it was okay. Scrambled eggs. Okay. They had pork sausage. That was good. Bacon. It was a little greasy for my taste. There were no biscuits. There were no bagels. And the croissants were as hard as a rock. And again, what do I care? I'll use my $20 credit, so technically it's not costing anything. So I get the bill for breakfast. $48! $48!
Wow.
And all I'm thinking about, Dylan, how in the world do American families afford a trip to Disneyland?
I should have started saving when I was born. That's what it makes me feel like.
I just don't get that. I mean, it's just insane, the prices.
That's crazy. And there's Disney adults out there, too, that are, like, living in Disney.
No, I think they
live underground, actually.
All right, those people creep me out.
Me, too.
Because I went over there, and I'm like, where are the children? I mean, there were no children. They were all grown adults. Many of them, and I do not mean to paint with a broad brush here, but many of them could not walk because they were so large that they needed the motorized scooters. Mm-hmm. And they're a danger to society because they will run you over and it'll kill you.
With the Minnie Mouse ears on.
They got the mouse ears and the whole. It's just weird, man. I don't get that.
They got a lot of money, though.
They got a lot of money. I was stunned at how expensive it is. So anyway, I'm flying back, and this is the story I wanted to tell you yesterday, because this just, it cracked me up. So on Delta Airlines, and I'm 1.5 million, I think 1.5 million miles. That's how many miles I've flown in Delta. And so they honor you, and they give you special perks. And which I greatly appreciate, and I love Delta. It's a great airline, and they do a great job of getting me from point A to point B. And if there's ever a problem, they make it very easy to fix. So I love those guys, and they all know me by name at Memphis International, and that makes it a lot easier. As a matter of fact, I know some of the TSA agents that, pat me down in my personal spaces. Which makes it a little easier, Dylan.
I thought that would make it worse.
I know, but it's not like you're being manhandled and molested by a stranger. Stranger danger!
Half glass full kind of guy.
Right, exactly. So go to the Sky Club, they always do the fresh popcorn. It's really great. So, if I'm traveling, and that's, folks, I am not a pretentious person at all. I know it may sound, what's the phrase that Dalton uses all the time? Bougie? Is that bougie?
Bougie.
Bougie.
Like fancy?
I'm really not. But when I travel, I want to be comfortable. And that's it. So if you want me to come and do something, that's part of the thing. You got to make sure you. So anyway, I'm flying first class. And there's a guy that's seated next to me. And I could tell he was from New York. He was flying to Memphis from L.A. But I could tell he was originally from New York just by his accent. And on Delta flights now, there's a great burger joint in New York City called Shake Shack, and they're popping up all over the country now. And I'm just going to tell you, it's a good burger. I'd rather have an In-N-Out or a Whataburger, but it's a great burger. I don't want to take anything away from the experience. It's a good burger. So they've worked out a deal with Shake Shack that on Delta Airlines in first class, you can order, because on the long-haul flights, anything over 2 hours, they feed you a meal. So you can order a Shake Shack burger, which is kind of cool to eat a big, juicy burger in first class on Delta at 30,000 feet. But you have to pre-order, so you can't order it once you're on the plane. So this guy had pre-ordered the burger. And so the flight attendant's coming by, and she's getting our drink orders. And she said, okay, sir, I see that you've pre-ordered. And Mr. Stearns, what would you like? I said, I'll have the beef short rib. The other choice was chicken with curry. And may I just say, I don't know who came up with that idea. The entire airplane smelled like, I don't know. I was thinking, nice bathrooms. I thought I was in Bollywood. I'm just telling you.
You made a good choice.
So anyway, I had the beef short. It's a great short. The meals are phenomenal on Delta. Just want to throw that out there. Had a little tiramisu. It was very delicious. So anyway, it's very quick. Sir, what would you like? I'll have the beef short rib. So the guy says, well, yes, I did pre-order the, he said, well, I'll try to get the accent. Well, yes, I did pre-order the Shake Shack burger, but I do have questions. Okay, sir, what are your questions? She's very helpful. And I'm like in the aisle seat, and he's in the, so she's like leaning in over me. And this went on, I kid you not, for 5 minutes. He says, well, first of all, are these being grilled on the airplane? Okay. I'm like, yeah, we've got a grill in the back of the plane. We just open up the window so nobody gets smoked out here. Are you kidding me? She said, well, no, they're pre-made. Oh, they're pre-made. Well, that should have been made known on the form. I was informed that this was going to be a freshly made hamburger. I mean, the guy was like really upset over this hamburger.
Has he ever been on a plane before?
That's what I was wondering. And I was just, and I wondered that because, you know, the way he was behaving, it seemed as though this was his first flight. So he goes on and he was like, well, I'm really concerned about the consistency of the hamburger meat because at 30,000 feet, you know that the food changes its flavor and sometimes consistency. And I'm just really concerned that this hamburger may not be up to standards. And the poor flight attendant was like, well, would you like a beef short rib? I mean, what do you want? You know, we got the vegetarian option for you. So this went on and on and on. So then she comes back to get the drink orders. And she goes, sir, what would you like? And he says, well, I'm very particular, but I would prefer to have a wine. Do you have a red wine? So she's listing the kinds of wine they have. And he goes, I see. So you have no California wines? She goes, well, I'm not really sure where the wines came from. I mean, the poor lady. She's just like. And so then he says, I kid you not, Dylan. I'm just taking it all in. Taking it all in. And by the way, I've got the headphones on and the TV. Like, you know, you think I'm watching Fox News Channel, but I'm really listening.
You're a fly on the wall.
I'm taking notes because I'm thinking, I'm talking about this on the show. So the guy goes on and he says, well, if you don't mind, before I taste any wine, I need to see the bottle. May I see the bottle? And so the poor lady brought out the entire wine bottle. And then the guy is staring. He's reading the label on the wine bottle. And then he takes out his smartphone. I don't know who he was texting, but he was doing a blow-by-blow from the Shake Shack burger. And so he's like screenshotting the bottle and sending it to whoever he's texting. And he's just holding it there, and he's waiting for the person that he's texting to respond. And so the person responds, and he says, well, I suppose this will have to do. But please don't fill my glass up. I only want a little bit of wine. And he goes, and what vintage is this? And so she tried to tell him. And so anyway, and then she turns to me. She just looks so exasperated. I said, well, I'll have a ginger ale, but I need to know what vintage it is. And she just started laughing. She started laughing.
This guy seems like he would be a terrible tipper.
Exactly. He is not tipping 20%. He's not tipping 20%.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
I'm like, holy cow.
Did he do like the swirl with the wine? You know, the swirl and
the smell? Oh,
yeah, yeah.
He sniffed it.
Yeah.
I'm like, really, dude?
It's airplane wine.
It's basically grape juice that they set out and kept. It's a couple of weeks old. It's Welch's. Vintage last year. Just shut up and drink it, sir. Unbelievable. All that to say, the flight attendants on that flight were so great. They're L.A. based, but they were staying in Memphis. They were starting a 3-day jaunt, so they were putting them up over at the Graceland, the new hotel over at Graceland. So they were really taking good care of them. So there you go. That was my adventure. Jeez, Lou. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, coming up tonight, 5 o'clock on Newsmax, we have a jam-packed show. We're going to be talking to the former governor of Virginia. Also, Ralph Norman, Congressman Ralph Norman, running for governor in South Carolina. So we'll have a great conversation with him. Want to remind you, though, about this incredible offer from our friends at Newsmax. Pastor Lucas Miles has written a new book, and it's called Pagan Threat. And Lucas is in charge of TPUSA Faith. And Charlie Kirk actually wrote the foreword of this book. It's the very last thing Charlie Kirk wrote before he was killed. And Charlie says this book is really a must-read. It's already an Amazon bestseller. You can get a copy for free thanks to our friends at Newsmax. All you need to do is go to PaganThreat.com. That's PaganThreat.com, and you'll be able to check out that great offer. Again, PaganThreat.com. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Wow, that was a bit of a long story, Dylan. I didn't mean to. We had a lot of other things we needed to cover, but I had to share that story. I just, you know, I could tell the flight attendants, and you don't want to be that passenger, right? So I always, and by the way, I was reading a story about how flight attendants, they pretty much size up the passengers as they're walking on board the plane, and they get a pretty good idea of who's going to be the problem passengers.
That's a good tactic.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, you're going to be up in the air and, you know, you don't want to, I'm just not a needy person. You know, just give me a nice cold beverage and I'm good to go.
You can't walk away on a plane. You just kind of walk down the hall.
Yeah, pretty much. Exactly.
You learn how to deal with people, I guess.
So the couple next to us, they were a lot of fun. They were probably in their, I would say their late 70s, and they had taken a trip to Hawaii for their whatever big anniversary it was. And the husband and wife, they were kind of like yelling at each other, but in a very fun way. And the husband had a bad hip. And so he needed to sit on the window seat because of the hip. And the wife was giving him grief for it. It was really enjoyable. So it's always fun when you have fun passengers. Then the guy behind me was hitting on this female. I don't know what that was all about. The entire flight, he was like trying to, you know, hook up.
It's like when you get on a plane, it's like you're living a simulation. It's like, how did we all end up here at the same time?
It's like you're in Vegas, right?
Anything could happen.
I'm just like, what the heck? So all that to say, I'm not sure why I was sharing that story. It was just one of those crazy things. But I hear, though, at the end of all of this, she actually came back and she said, how was the burger? He said, delicious.
Okay.
So there you go.
It was okay in the end.
There you go. Absolutely.
His world was not ending.
I'm just glad we don't have to tip on the airplane. Oh, my word. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Here's what's going to happen later this evening. We're getting another vote. So the Senate is going to convene. There will be a vote at 5:30. No word just yet on whether or not we're going to have the votes. But we will see how all this plays out. By the way, some breaking news out of California. We will have this story up on our website, but apparently federal agents had to open fire in Los Angeles after an illegal alien rammed vehicles trying to escape from ICE agents. So this, again, happening in Los Angeles. We understand that a U.S. Marshal was shot, an illegal immigrant also shot during all of this. Federal agents had surrounded and boxed in the vehicle. The driver then rammed the federal vehicles, tried to escape, and that's when ICE officers opened fire. Look, here's the deal, and I'm glad everybody's okay. But when ICE tells you to stop, you stop. And if you don't do it, well, you get what you ask for. But ICE agents, they're not messing around anymore. And I say good for them. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass yet to weigh in, but she's already called for a congressional investigation into the detention of these illegals. And again, folks, National Guard in town, federal law enforcement, you got no reason to be scared. You got no reason to be terrified or worried. You got no reason to be looking over your shoulder unless you're a bad guy. And then you better buckle up. All right, got to scoot out of here, everybody. We'll see you back tomorrow, noon Eastern. Be good, America.